You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? And if there are no more announcements, we'll go to scripture reading. It's in Matthew today, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And Father God, we just want to pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Betty. That was beautiful. You know, it's not often that we think about old little town of Bethlehem. Not here in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. We're a big league city now. Lots going on here. And of course, this time of year, not many of our thoughts go back to Bethlehem and that time over 2,000 years ago when the most impossible thing in the world happened. But more about that in a minute. Let's get started with prayer. Father, we pause here before the lesson to honor you, to glorify you, to give you the praise that you deserve, and to bring to you the need that we have. There's so many needs, but the greatest need we have today is the need to overcome our ignorance. So we pray, Father, that your Spirit be the teacher so that we might be able to receive, and not only to receive, but to seek those things that pertain to your Son and our Savior, that we might get to know him, Father, even more than we know him now, that we might grow in his grace and his knowledge as we begin to take those things which your Spirit has imparted unto us and put them into action and apply them in our lives to overcome that which hinders us in all that we do, our ever-present sin nature. So we thank you, Father, ahead of time as you begin to do that, as you begin to unfold the Christmas story and its reality, not only in our mind, but more so in our heart, that it might guard us and it might keep us from the wiles of the devil. And we thank you, Father, for that. Bless this time, and we pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. We've been doing the Christmas story. We started a couple of weeks ago. The lesson was the beginning of the end. And then last week, the plot thickens. In those two lessons, we found out that the beginning really wasn't the beginning of the New Testament. Because as we went to Matthew, we found out that it began with the genealogy of Christ, and that the Christmas story started with, now the birth of Jesus was in this way. But something happened before that. Zacharias had an angel appear to him in the temple. And all of a sudden, the silence of God is broken by an angel. And the plan of God begins. And then the plot thickened, because we found out an angel appeared unto Mary. And not only was Elizabeth pregnant, but Mary was pregnant. An amazing thing. Born of a virgin, just as the prophecies foretold. And so now today, if I were to title this lesson, it would not be the beginning of the end, it would be the end of the beginning. This is how God did it. This is how God did it. He broke into the universe by doing the most impossible thing we could ever imagine. Gabriel says to Mary, those things that are impossible to men are possible with God. She asks the same question that you and I would ask. How can this be? Why in the world? This would be the second question. Why in the world would you do it this way? And we studied that. We looked at it. We tried to understand it. I don't think we can get our arms around it, to think that the creator of the universe then stepped into his creation. Jesus wasn't part of that creation. He was just as much God before that creation as he was God when he was born on this earth, as he is God today. And before time ever began, and before the Bible ever was first penned in the beginning, that reference, God created the heavens and the earth, Jesus was. He's the great I Am. He's the Ancient of Days. He is the manifestation of God in the flesh. And somehow this was all worked out, and it just boggles the mind that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost got together and said, hey, here's what's going to happen. And it wasn't just something that God was doing willy-nilly, like you and I might say, oh, hey, let's go down and watch a basketball game tonight. You got any tickets? No. Well, let's go anyway. We'll just, you know, scarf some there at the front door from the scalpers. And well, God didn't. God created the universe. Why? Why? Was he not happy with his, you know, himself? He created the universe for the same reason that he created you. Think about that. Let the mind kind of wrap that up a minute. He created you for the same reason he created the universe. Why? To give glory to him. He created the universe saying, I'm going to create this because this will give glory to me. Not that he had some kind of inferiority complex or some identity problem. That's Christian psychology. He created it to give glory to himself, the same reason he created you, to give glory. Everything is to give glory to him. Don't think for a moment that's not it, because he says in Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. I mean, we got to put our arms around this somehow. We got to try to understand it. And I can't understand it. Paul says, thanks be to God for what? His unspeakable gift, or his indescribable gift, or indescribably delicious, as somebody used to coin some candy bar that's out there. You can't describe it. I can't describe it. I'd be remiss to sit here and tell you, okay, now listen, let me describe it to you. You can't. But you can every day, just like Paul, 30 years after the road to Damascus, and he writes there in the Philippian letter, that I may get to know him. For 30 years, Paul's already known him, and Paul's written some of the most incredible things about God, and he spent time with God on the backside of a desert. But he says, I still want to get to know him. I've been with him. I've been in his presence. I've written his book. But I still want to get to know him. And that's what we ought to do. It's so hard to do that at Christmas time. With all the hurry and the rush and the bustle of everything. But let's just try. Let's try to understand it for a moment. The fact that God, somebody said, broke into the universe, entered into the universe. Call it whatever you want. But great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh. And that's not anything impossible for God. I mean, we go back to Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there? I think sometimes this time of year we could probably name a few things that just aren't going to get done. So we think sometimes there's some things that may be too hard for the Lord. Can you get this done? You know, so we take it in our own hands. And I told that joke last week. I think it was last week. It was a week before. About the little boy praying. And finally he said, I'm not going to be good for a week. Okay. Y'all, I hope you remember that. I'm not going to tell it again. My wife will be having... She's heard it 10 times. How about Job 42:2? I know that you can do all things, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Or, as another translation is, that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. What seems impossible to us is always possible with God. Everything is possible with Him. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, it is You who has made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and by Your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for You. And the time has come. The time has come for the most impossible thing to be done. God enters into His creation. The end of the beginning of His plan and purpose. And here it is. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. And let's look at this just for a moment. Now the birth of Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise or in this way. Okay, here's the story. Here we're going to talk about it. The birth, the virgin birth. We think, gosh, that's just so, whoa. The virgin birth. But really stop for a moment and think. The birth itself wasn't any different than anybody else's. Wasn't any different than yours or mine. Born of a woman. We've all been born of a woman. The birth is no... Well, I guess maybe it was a miracle. But the birth itself was not a miracle. That's really not the... When we think of the virgin birth, we really ought to think of the conception. That's where the miracle took place. That's where God changed everything and did it different. Not going to do it the same old way. Not going to do it the way you and I would think it would be done. The conception was the miracle. I tried to put your arms around that, and really we probably should go over to Luke real quick. I stopped you right there, but hold your hand there. We'll come right back to it, but go over to Luke real quick. And Mary... She had our question. In verse chapter 1 of Luke, in verse 34, and we looked at this. Mary heard all of this from the angel, and she says in verse 34, "How shall this be? How shall this be?" God's quick and simple answer, verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. So the birth of Christ was in this way, and that's the miracle. So when we look at, come on back to Matthew, when we think about the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise or in this way, on this manner, and here's how it was, and we begin to think of that story, let's just don't gloss over it. Let's don't forget about how God did it different. Just like when He made the first Adam, He did it different. When He made the last Adam, He did it different. And He did it different than He did the first Adam. So, back at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was in this way, and I'm not going to spend time with Jesus Christ. I'm just... You know, when you read this, Christ, Messiah, the Anointed One, it's the Hebrew word Messiah. To us, it's the Greek word Christos or the English word Christ and Jesus. Jehovah saves. Jehovah, the great I Am, was born this way. When, as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. That's not of the Holy Spirit. It's not some, you know, you just can't put this in human terms. This was not the Holy Spirit. This was the gift of God. This was, you know, there's a difference between a giver and a gift. This is not the giver. This is the gift. You know, and I think sometimes humanity, in our humanness, we try to understand it from a human way, and it's not that way at all. He was every bit as human as you and I, in that He was born of a woman, and every bit a part of Him that makes up His humanity came from Mary, but He was God too. He was God in the flesh. He was the Lord Jesus. And He was very much God. In His prayer over in John chapter 17, He says, "I want you to remember, Father, I've done what you've asked me to do, and I want you to restore the glory unto me that I had with you before creation." He didn't give up his godliness. He gave up his glory. He came right out of glory and he took on the form of a servant, Paul writes in Philippians. But he never gave up. He didn't think it was robbery to be equal to God. He was God. He never gave that up. But he took upon himself the form of man and was obedient unto his death. So she was found with child. Who found her? Well, she went to see Elizabeth. Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. And then all of a sudden, John leaps in Elizabeth's womb because Mary's pregnant. By the time she gets back home, she's showing everybody knew she was pregnant. So, girl, her mother took her to the doctor for a yearly. She was 14 years old. And they were doing all these tests on this young lady. And all of a sudden, the doctor came back and said, "Everything's fine, but we have something we need to tell you." Mother said, "What's that?" Worried. He said, "Well, she's pregnant." The mother looks at the daughter, and the daughter's going, "What? That's not, that can't be." Mother said, "Well," mother says, "well, you know, first defense, you know, my, now that, do the test again." So they did the test again. Doctor comes back and says, "She's pregnant." And the daughter's going, "No, there's no way. It can't be. There's just no way." And so the daughter then says, do the test again. It's wrong." She's standing up now. They go and take the test again, come back and said, "She's pregnant." Well, something's got to be wrong. Doctor says, "Well, let's take some blood. We'll do a blood test. It'll take us overnight to do it, and we'll find out tomorrow." Can you imagine that mother and that daughter going home that night and telling the dad what's going on? And what a night they spent. Next morning, they get a call. "We're sorry. You're right. Our tests were wrong. The blood test shows that she's not pregnant." But think about that period in there. Think about this situation. Verse 19, "Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." Can you imagine what was going on in his mind? Now, last week when we left, I told you, come this week and I'll tell you what you and Moses have in common. Well, you not only have it in common with Moses, you have it in common with Joseph too. You know what it is? It's a burning bush. Every person has this example in life. What example? That God will bring you to that hallowed ground where that burning bush is. It may not be a burning bush. You know, you may not be spending 40 years on the backside of a desert, but there is a time when there is an interest in you and you look at that mountaintop and you wonder, and you wonder, and you wonder. I wonder if he's really real. I wonder if that light up there in that mountain, I wonder if that glow is really God. The burning bush. Joseph's there. He's going, "Oh no. Do I lean to my own understanding or do I trust God? Or in this case, do I believe Mary? Do I believe my own wife, my espoused wife? What do I do?" "Well, let's see. I'm a just man. I love her." See, we get to those situations in life where God will challenge us. Do you really believe what you really believe, like Dr. Dale Tackett tells us in the Truth Project? Do you? Now, do you really believe that I'm in control? Do you believe that I'm sovereign, Joseph? Joseph's going through that right there. He said, being a just man, not willing, he's thinking through this, not willing to make her a public example. I don't want to go out front with this. You know, all those emotions that wash over what you think. I don't think I want to go there. And sometimes, like some great golfer, you run into a tree with your car and it's there. Now, you got to deal with it. And it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Because, you know, there's not anything you can do about it. This is a burning bush moment. Take your shoes off and figure out what God's got planned for you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to call you into His service. That's the only reason you're going to be there at the burning bush. I don't know what it is in your life. I don't know, you know, I don't know how many times these situations happen. I think they happen until we get to the point that we say, I give up and I'm going to trust in God. And I don't mean just this time and then get on down the road and then all of a sudden it happens again and I'm going to start taking charge and start leaning on my own understanding instead of trusting Him with all my heart. I think once we get to that point in life where we make our mind up that He is in charge and we're going to do what He says, oh, does that mean it's going to be perfect and whatever you do is going to be perfect? No. You still got all those conflicts going on. You got all those problems. Now, I'm not getting psychological. I'm getting biblical. Because there is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. There is a war going on between you and your new nature and that old nature. And God wants you, at that bush, Moses goes, well, you know, we start making excuses. Moses says, I don't think I can do this. You know? I mean, what if I get there and they go, who is he? And I go, who is who? And they say, who is he that sent you? What do I tell them? You know, he's trying to wiggle out of it. And God says, you tell them that I am, that I am. Always has been, is, and always will be. He's the eternal God. Well, okay. But what else? You know, they're hard-headed people. They like to see things. See that rod? Yeah. Give it to me. And that's our problem. There's some things we won't give up. We won't give it over. We won't trust Him in it. I don't know what it is in your life, and I could give examples, and good preachers probably could give a lot of examples that would hit on this one and that one and that one and this one. And then you might go out of here thinking, okay, here it comes. And it wasn't that at all. You know, because, you know, that's what was said at the church, and this is my burning bush moment. You'll know it. You'll know it when it comes. There won't be any doubt in your mind. But you have that just like Joseph has it. Look what happens. All of a sudden, verse 20, while he thought on these things, Joseph didn't just give it up real quick. He didn't just make his mind up and that was it. He thought on these things. He began to work these things around in his mind. And he began to say, what is going on? And that's when God comes to us. And that's when He talks to us. That's when He begins to show us His way. Oh, I wish it was A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, it's not that way at all. It's just take the first step. I'll show you the second step, but let's see the first step first, because I guarantee you if Paul had seen at the end of his journey all the suffering that he was going to go through. Yeah, suffering. You don't think Moses went through suffering? He suffered those 40 years in that desert with those grumblers and those murmurers. It's not easy. But when you got your eyes fixed on the great I am, piece of cake. What? Me worry? Not at all. You take that first step. He'll show you that second step. He'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Not for you and not for anything you've done, and you may not get any glory out of it, and it may be after you're dead and gone that, you know, there is some glory thrown around about you, but who cares? Do you think you'll care? I don't think so. I don't even think you'll care when you get in heaven. I think God's got something really fantastic planned. And this whole earth will just not even... Can you imagine? I mean, think with me for a moment. Do you think that baby, when it's born, starts thinking, wow, how did that happen between my mom and dad? Like, somebody explain that to him. He's sticking his hands in his mouth and he's slobbered all over himself. He can't control his bowels or his bladder. No, you're not going to sit there and think, whoa, what was I doing in that canal? And then I came into this womb and this, what was all this water around this bag? And no, this baby's not thinking stuff like that when he comes out. He's thinking, whoa. He's not thinking that either. He's just born. I just can't wait. It's going to be marvelous what God has planned for us. So here's Joseph. Verse 20, he thought on these things, and behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him. God wants to talk to him, and God wants to give to him every blessing that he has. And he appears to him in a dream, and Joseph, he says, "Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Spirit." It's that gift. It's a gift of God. Amazing as it is. In verse 21, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Call his name Jesus. Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. I do want to read this. I'm going to hold it, but I want to get to this Jehovah saves deal. If our greatest need was knowledge, God would have given us a teacher. If we needed technology, He would have given us a scientist. If we needed money, He would have given us an economist. But what we needed, the greatest need that we have, is forgiveness. God gave us a Savior. That's what we need. God gave us exactly what we need. That's His promise. That's what separates us from Him. He's promised. Look, go back over to Jeremiah 31. And look real quick. Jeremiah 31. And we know this because, you know, this is that great passage that deals with the new covenant. And God says in verse 31 of chapter 31, He says, "Behold, the days come with the Lord, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant." But why did He have to make a new covenant? It's the same reason. It's the same purpose. Look at verse 33. "This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts." We need that so much. We need to talk to Him. We need to commune with Him. We need to meditate on His Word. We need His Word to constantly shine before us as a light to show us our way. He says, "I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall have no need to teach any man anymore about who he is, or even his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest, saith the Lord. Why? For I will forgive their iniquity. I will forgive their iniquity. And I will remember their sin no more." See, that's the problem that we have. We keep using ourselves as the plumb line or the standard. And it's not us. It's Christ, and it's what He's done. We needed Him. That's what God's plan and purpose was. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son to be born of a woman. Why? To redeem His people. We needed redemption. We need redemption. And until we come to that peace with God, we have all the problems that come with Christmas. And if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. He'll try to get your mind off of what's going on, really going on now, and put it on what doesn't even matter. Here's what this guy from New Zealand said. "There's 10 days now until Christmas Day." Well, there's 5. Here. "I'm trying my best," he says, "to be numb to the materialism, the hype, and the manic busyness of Christmas this year, trying instead to consider deeply and often the immense implications of a king born to us by his virgin mother, an eternal father. You can stand back and observe what happens to people," he said, "at Christmas, and it's fascinating and bad. First, the wallets and the checkbooks and the credit cards come out, and then spending in New Zealand goes through the proverbial roof throughout December in preparation of mass gift exchanging and indulgent overeating and drinking to take place on December the 25th. Now, I'm going to stop here. And you know, I love A Christmas Carol. I love Dickens' story, and I just think Scrooge's conversion is great. And it's just wonderful that a heart can be changed and a man can alter the course that his life's on by believing something. But there's something missing. There's something missing. And we have a babe born to us. It's not three ghosts. It's not a spook. It's not an apparition. We have a babe born unto us this day. We need to remember that. And that's where the story really misses the point. And I love the story. Don't misunderstand. And I'll watch it and my eyes will tear up. My throat will get hard. And I'll just, and when he jumps out of bed and he goes, I'm still alive, you know. I tingle. Then I start to laugh. It happened to me. You know, God is real. God meant all this. It doesn't mean, yeah, I'm walking in sinless perfection. No. I needed a representative. I needed someone to come down in the form of man, because God said it is given unto man once to die. And then the judgment. And I don't want to face that. And that was Scrooge's problem. He saw, you know, the ghost of Christmas future, and he goes, tell me, Spectre, is that? Who's in that grave? Christ died for me. He's not only my representative, he's my substitution. He came not just to be born, and it's not like Harry Belafonte said, you know, born this Christmas day that man may live forever. Man may live forever in that little Jamaican type Christmas song. I can't even. Without the cross, Christmas has no purpose. You can't come to Christmas without going to the cross, because he came to do the will of the Father. So I not only needed a representative, but I need a substitution. And it's clean. He took my sin and he took your sin, and he has, as the psalmist said, separated it from you as far as the east is from the west. That's infinity. It is this. He has taken it, as he says over in Micah, and he has put it in the deepest part of the ocean. I read that and I start thinking, okay, if I were on the boat and I fell off, and how long would it take to get all the way down? I don't even know how far it is. It could be 5, 7, 10, 12 miles to the deepest part of the ocean. But it's just gone. And that's what he came to do. Because that's what we needed. This guy goes on and he says, there's some incredible pressure on families at Christmas, and I know it's nothing new, but the more I think about it, the more I'm saddened by it. Finance companies do a roaring trade at Christmas as cash-strapped families take out loans to pay for Christmas gifts and season fare. Their repayments often take them through until the following Christmas, and sometimes beyond, until they end up operating on a revolving line of credit. Just for Christmas. That's so wrong. He says on the radio the other day, the DJ, that's a disc jockey, implored his listeners to remember what Christmas was really all about. The big guy in the red suit, delivering cheer and goodwill. The pity of it. And we come to the story and we know it, and I can stand up here and I can talk about it. And about the time I start saying, okay, now the birth of Jesus, come back to Matthew. The birth of Jesus Christ was in this way. Most of you are on your third stage of anesthesia. Oh, I've been there. I've done that. But I mean, if we could just for a moment try to understand how important it is to have ears to hear. And to hear what God is talking about. Not just hear, but hear in the book. In the book. Verse 21. She shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That's the thanks we have. That's the response that God wants. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. This is the end of the beginning. This is where it all started. This is how God did it. The gospel message isn't about advice, and good advice it is, to men. but it's good news about Christ. It's not an invitation by God for you to do anything, but it's a declaration from God of what He has done. It's not a demand by God, it's an offer from God. Receive this gift. That's what Christmas is all about. That's where the rubber meets the road in our life and how we deal with it. I had a couple of weeks ago this quote, and I wanted to bring it because it was so good, from Mary Sutherland, who's part of Stress Busters. She's a leader at helping women, that's women, manage stress in their life and how to enjoy peace every day, even managing that stress. It's difficult. I mean, Paul wouldn't tell us be anxious for nothing if there wasn't anxiousness always out there and we were dealing with it. He's telling us not to be anxious, but more so he's telling us how to deal with it. But make your request known to God, he goes on to say. And with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, it'll get you through it. You're going to have those moments. You're going to have that difficult time. And Mary says, the holidays seem to tug at the mass we carefully hold in place and push the emotional buttons we desperately try to hide. The arrival of family members can resurrect painful issues that have never really been resolved. Financial pressure opens up like a sinkhole, waiting to steal our joy and destroy our peace. She goes on and says, schedules demand every ounce of energy and false expectations leave us empty and hollow. Before we realize it, the dark, slimy pit swallows us up. It's not supposed to be that way, girlfriend. That's what she said. It's not supposed to be that way. Now is the time to do something about it. What do we do? What do we do? You there still in Matthew? Verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife. And go back and think through all that. Think of how hard that must have been on his family. His family was the line of David. His mother, his father were going, Joseph. But he didn't listen to all that clatter. He didn't listen to all that noise. He did as the angel of the Lord bid him. And he took unto his wife. Took unto him his wife, verse 25, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn. Not his, her firstborn son. But he called his name Jesus. I think Joseph knew without a doubt. But what a third bit part Joseph gets to play, but this is it. You may be a Joseph, but you may come away from the burning bush and you may not be any grand player on any grand stage, and your mind and the pride of life may seep in and you want to be heard and you want to be listened to and you want to be looked up to. Not that at all. What you want to hear, and if you can just put all those emotional issues in the will of your own life and the happiness that you think will make you happy, put it aside and seek the will of God and His happiness, you'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, we do praise You. Our hearts just fill up as we hear this story and we begin to ponder it and we meditate on it, and it gets so full of how gracious You've been, how gracious You are, and how gracious You'll be. Well, we look forward to that time. But here and now, Father, We're ignorant. We need to seek your will for our life. We have so much unbelief that comes and confronts us day in and day out. And we allow our own understanding to overtake your purpose and your plan for not just our life, but the life of those that are near and dear. Oh, Father, we do need to have faith. We need to have trust. We do praise you and we thank you for your unspeakable gift. We pray, Father, that everything that we do, every present we buy, every store we visit, every cup of hot cider or apple cider that we drink, we're mindful, Father, of the gift that you gave, and let it be the gift that keeps on giving. We thank you for this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.